The Holy Gospel is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be called holy to the Lord. And they came to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God. He said, "Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Joseph and the child's mother were amazed at the things that were spoken about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Listen carefully. This child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Anna, a prophetess, was there. She was a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow of 84 years. She did not leave the temple complex, and she was worshiping with fasting and prayers night and day. Standing nearby at that very hour, she gave thanks to the Lord. She kept speaking about the child to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had accomplished everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town, Nazareth. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news, great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior was born for you. He is Christ the Lord. How quickly those songs got old, didn't they? After Thanksgiving, or even before Thanksgiving, wherever you went, whatever radio station you turned on, you would hear happy, even sappy Christmas songs. And they were fun to listen to. They kind of add a little festivity to the, festive air to whatever you happen to be doing, or you're traveling around running errands or something like that, or you're shopping in the stores, you hear that music. But there's also something to be said about not having a steady diet of those Christmas songs. A steady diet of Christmas songs, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Little Drummer Boy, and Jingle Bells, and Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, they're all well and good, but they're kind of like, if you have a steady diet of them, it'd be kind of like a junk food diet. Enjoyable for a while, but not sustainable. You take a closer look, the more you listen to them, you go, man, this song really isn't saying anything. Or it's just about snow or shoes or fun little stories. Or if they speak of peace, it's only wishful thinking. Or they sing of joy that briefly appears around Christmas Eve, maybe holds through Christmas Day, but by December 26th, it's gone as the world goes back to normal. In a sense, that describes our world's after Christmas song, doesn't it? As soon as the rush to Christmas passes with discarded paper and leftovers and clearance sales, the peace and joy of Christmas get put away too, right along with the decorations as life goes back to normal. The world returns to war and conflict and fear. People go back to picking up the broken pieces of lives and livelihoods, or if they've had to deal with disaster or violence, they go back to picking up those pieces again. People go back to fighting and arguing and attacking one another over all kinds of things, whether that's an opinion or a political development or a social development or even attacking each other over some comment made by a blustering bureaucrat. Loved ones become selfish Scrooges as tempers flare and the bills pile up. The decorations lose their luster. I mean, if it's like February 1st and you still got your Christmas tree and your decorations up, it's like, maybe we should take these down. Christmas gets put away. Our world's After Christmas song becomes a depressing dirge about the reality and effects of sin in our lives. It's an old familiar song that every generation has sung, mourning the loss of real peace and real joy ever since our first parents sang the first refrains of that song centuries ago. Yet today we travel back 2,000 years to hear a song that's been around even long before that, and yet it's a song that's new today. That song speaks of true peace and joy. That song flows from the lips of mature believers, but yet little children sing it. With Simeon and Anna, we sing a new song in the new year. Now Jesus had reached the ripe old age of 40 days. Law of Moses required that a mother who had given birth to a baby had to wait 40 days before she could go to the temple to offer a sacrifice for her ceremonial purification. That way she could return to the worship life of the community. Unlike other sacrifices that required, okay, you have to sacrifice a bull or you have to sacrifice a sheep, in this case, it took into account where people were at financially. So even the poorest would be able to give something, two turtle doves or two pigeons, which is exactly what Mary and Joseph offered because they were so poor. The law of Moses also required that parents present their firstborn son to the Lord as the first fruits of their family. That firstborn son was considered holy to the Lord. It didn't mean that he had to stay there and grow up in the temple. There were others who served on his behalf, but they were to present him to the Lord. So you have this young family, mom and dad, little baby in mother's arms. Dad is carrying a little cage with a couple of pigeons or turtle doves inside. And they're making their way into the busy temple courts in Jerusalem when suddenly an older man comes running up to them. This guy, he doesn't just run up to them. He's a stranger to them. He scoops the baby out of Mary's arms and holds the child, cradles the child gently in his arms. Now, as a father, my first instinct would be, what are you doing and how quickly can I physically extract that child from your arms? But Joseph held back. So did Mary. This man wasn't trying to kidnap their baby boy, and Simeon, the man, he alleviated their fears, dispelled their fears very quickly as he gently sang to their son, "Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now, for those of us who may recall that song from its place it once had in the communion liturgy, it's familiar, but to Mary and Joseph, this is brand new. This is hot off the presses. Simeon sang a song of peace, long expected and long awaited, but it was a peace not seen or heard before that day. Simeon was no stranger to the ancient songs of the Old Testament, songs that sang of hopeful expectation for the Messiah. Simeon trusted in God's promises of one who would come to deliver Israel. He was familiar with the old songs of the prophets, including one penned by a man named Isaiah, through whom God himself said to his son, "It is too small a thing that you should just be my servant to raise up only the tribes of Jacob and to restore the ones I have preserved in Israel. So I will appoint you to be a light for the nations, so that my salvation will be known to the end of the earth." Simeon's song, it came from a desire to finally see that true peace, long promised and long expected, see it with his own eyes. All Old Testament believers had hoped to see this comfort of Israel before their dying day. Now the Holy Spirit had placed that desire in Simeon's heart, but had given him a special privilege. He would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Imagine that promise. You would not die until you saw with your own eyes the long-promised Messiah. Wow. Simeon would actually see his Savior with his own eyes, but not just see him with his own eyes. He would actually cradle this child in his own arms, and he would do so before he died. What else could Simeon do than sing a new song of peace? Simeon sang of the peace we and our world need, but he sang not of a world peace that only is possible if not a single one of us has the stain of sin. Instead, Simeon's saying of a piece many would misunderstand. While handing the infant back to his mother, Simeon told her, "Listen carefully. This child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too. This child will grow up to become a stumbling block to many, because they did not want peace with God, they wanted peace on their own terms. This child would one day have enemies who would reject the Prince of Peace as a demon. Enemies who would reject his peace as foolishness. Enemies who would reject his divine mission as worthless. And yet Simeon knew that this peace was not exclusive just to the Jews or just to people living in Israel 2,000 years ago, but this peace was for all. We look back at his song. "Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, and the glory of your people Israel." The Lord was not hiding his plan to bring true peace on earth. Instead, he revealed that peace so all nations would see it, including Gentiles like you and me. You see, that little child cradled in Simeon's arms came to rescue you from the dangers of sin and death. That child came to bring you peace with God in spite of your sin, in spite of your guilt, in spite of your worry or fear or anxiety or uncertainty. That child came to open your sin-blinded eyes to see the light of God's glorious grace, his glorious peace through Jesus. That child came to be the splendor and delight of God's faithful people. That child came to bring life to the dying, so a man like Simeon could close his eyes at peace with God and open them in eternal glory. So is it any wonder why Simeon sang a song of peace? Is it any wonder why we abandon the old dirge of sin and death for a new song of peace through Jesus? A new song of peace leads us to sing of the great joy that flows from that peace. After Simeon had handed the child back to his mother and walked away, an elderly woman nearby named Anna approached Joseph and Mary, and she got all excited too. Standing nearby at that very hour, she gave thanks to the Lord. She kept speaking about the child to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Like Simeon, Anna was no stranger to the old songs of the Old Testament. She was quite elderly. There's reason to believe she may have been over 100 years old. She had been married for 7 years and then was a widow for 84. Do the math. She was a regular in the temple courts, practically living there night in worship and prayer, night and day, waiting for the Messiah. When she saw Simeon rejoice at the child's arrival, she knew if he was getting excited, then she knew that that child was the one who was to come. That child was her source of hope and peace and joy, and her O Come Emmanuel became joy to the world. Seeing Jesus, Anna sang a new song of joy. She sang because that joy lived in spite of sorrow. Anna knew death all too well in her life. She had been a widow for many years. She had seen death, and eventually she herself would experience death. And yet that child brought joy to her sorrow and comfort to her grief. Because that child lived, she knew she would live. In that little one in Mary's arms was the hope of the resurrection. That hope of the resurrection was Anna's source of true joy. And so her old dirge of death became a new song of eternal joy. When Anna laid her eyes on her newborn Savior, she gave thanks to God. She knew that what that little child would accomplish. But we, as New Testament believers, we know that he accomplished all that the prophets had foretold. That little child died that we would die to sin. That child lived so that we would live again. Therefore, our lives then become a joyful song of thanks for what that little child has accomplished for us. That song of joy is then a song to be shared. Anna shared that song of joy with everyone she met. She wanted everyone she knew to join her in this new chorus of joy because the long-awaited Savior had finally come for them too. And we do the same. We share that joy. We sing about that peace and joy that we have through Christ while we live in a world that desperately needs that peace and joy. We share that song with the people in our lives. We sing to spread the news that the Savior has come to bring us real peace and joy, and that's going to last long after the celebrations of 2023 are forgotten. In all this, we keep that new song of peace and joy in our hearts and on our lips, like Simeon and Anna so long ago. As the old year comes to a close now it's a matter of hours. As the new year begins, we're more than happy to set aside the old Christmas classics for another year. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree can be saved till next year. We're more than happy to leave behind the old dirges that we've sung, the old sorrow, the grief, the pain, the hurt, the tears of the past year. But we don't stop singing the new song of peace and joy in Christ, a song that will go on to the end of time. With Christ, with our Savior's help, we don't let the old depressing dirges of sin and death destroy the true peace we have with God, true peace that we will share with all believers. With our Savior's help, we will not let those dirges ruin the true joy we have for all eternity. Instead, we sing. We join Simeon and Anna and believers of every age. And my friends, we sing a new song to the Lord, for Christ, our Savior, has and will do marvelous things. Amen.